Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, July 25th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 34, third full paragraph, beginning with, "How then shall we help our readers?" Ending with, "This is the crux of the problem." We're reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Kara L. reading the text and Kelly L. reading page 164. Newcomer greeter is Alex K. and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, July 24, 2024, is 21,601-21601. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,603-21603. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida. These are the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we carried this message to alcohol compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jan L., and I will now ask Bev M. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Bev M., compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group might never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bev M. How a meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing. And someone's not muted, if you could please hit star one. Thank you so much. And that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 34. We're reading that bottom paragraph, beginning with, how then shall we help our readers, ending with, this is the crux of the problem. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Tara L. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Tara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. How then shall we help our readers determine to their own satisfaction whether they are one of us? The experiment of quitting for a period of time will be helpful, but we think we can render an even greater service to alcoholic sufferers and perhaps to the medical fraternity. So shall we describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking? For obviously, this is the crux of the program, the crux of the problem. Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Long Beach, California. And I love the next thing, right? Yes, I already knew that I couldn't stop eating, but did I know some of the mental states that preceded me into this relapse, right? I often hear in the rooms from people, it started way before. Like, this happened before I was fully face down in the food again. So I have to, I was just thinking right now, it just came into my brain of like, why do I get up every morning, and I still do every single morning, my quiet time with God, my, moving my body, doing an inventory, doing a gratitude list, going on a meeting. Why do I start my day that way? And I think it's because I can wake up with one of those mental states, right? I can have, you know, had a day and gone to bed, and then in my own will when I wake up, and I have to reconnect every morning. I have to say, okay, I don't know if I recognize a mental state that's going to put me face down in the food, but today I choose to say, it might be there. So higher power, you know, here I am. I give you this day. I give you me. How can I best serve you and serve others? And I use the tools in this program that help me keep that connection. You know, whether it's, you know, working the steps and writing an inventory, doing some sponsor work, reaching out to my sponsor, making an outreach call, coming onto the meeting here. You know, I have to, you know, I will tell you, everybody, in all honesty, I just always assume divers right about everything, right? So if today I assume that one of those mental states might be lurking, and then I need to reach out to my higher power and connect, because I will tell you, when I'm in my own will, the world is complicated, difficult, and hard. And when I'm in God's will, it's just easy. And I'm really grateful for that today. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kara L. What a great way to get us started on that paragraph this morning. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you've shared on any vision meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday this week, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes. To allow time for as many people as possible to share, I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And what we'll do now is get first lineup. If you could please share your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Marcia D, Ohio.
Karen KZ.
This is
that Marcy. One moment, Elaine, please. Marcy D. What's that?
Marcia.
Oh, Marcia. Sorry, Marcia. And what was last initial?
D.
D. Gotcha. Okay. And then
Natalie M.
UNG from New York.
I've got you, Elaine. Thank you. And was that Natalie?
Natalie M. from California.
I've got you, Natalie.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to get in on the first lineup here?
Sherry H.M. from Washington.
All right, Sherry, I've got you. Sherry H.M. Okay. I've got Karen K.Z., Marcia D., Elaine G., Natalie M., Sherry H.M. We'll go ahead and start with Karen K.Z., followed by Marcia D. You're up.
Hi, everybody. This is Karen KZ in Missouri. I really love this paragraph because I like how it starts out. How do we help the reader determine whether they're one of us? And, of course, we all know the answer to that. Once we start, we can't stop, and we can't stop from starting. But I love, too, that it says quitting for a period of time is helpful. And, of course, what I know from my own recovery is I can't ever, ever, ever ingest those alcoholic foods that trigger my physical allergy. But it goes on to say that the problem really are the mental states that precede my going back into the food. And that's where that 10-step inventory comes in. So very helpful. Anytime I am upset or disturbed about anything, and I've had a lot to be disturbed and upset about lately, I know immediately now, I immediately do a 10-step. I look at what's going on. What's happening inside my head? I used to just ignore that. And, of course, that builds up over time. And eventually, you know, I'm lost. I do maintain my connection. And I, as someone shared previously, I have to do all these things every day. I have to get up and ask God to take my day over. I have to do my meeting. I have to do my prayer. Do all these things. I got to make calls. I got to sponsor. And all those things, I got to make a food plan, I got to share, I got to weigh and measure my food. And when I let up on any of those, I'm headed down the tubes because I think for all of us, we have to do different things. And I think we learn by trial and error, unfortunately, what is it that I'm required to do to stay abstinent. And of course, my main thing, and not abstinent just from food, but from my behaviors, from my messing and trying to control life. And the whole secret for me, for my recovery, is turning everything over to God and inviting God to take me over, my thoughts, my words, my actions. And when I do that, and I remember to do that throughout the day, I get through all kinds of things, and I don't need to turn to food or terrible behaviors. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Next, we've got Marcia B, followed by Elaine G, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, OA family. This is Marcia D in Ohio. Grateful to be here and really relating, and I really loved what the reader said about, you know, when I'm living in God's world, you know, essentially things flow. I've been on a difficult journey this summer. My son went into a mental health crisis and I went into my own mental health crisis, and it's been difficult. But what I'm really realizing is that for myself, and maybe others can relate, I have the double whammy. I have a compulsive eating problem, but I also have depression. And for a long time in my life, I didn't recognize both problems. I've long recognized the eating problem. So for me, back in the food is oftentimes preceded by a change in my mood with the depression. And it is a true issue that needs and is getting its own attention. So just glad to be here and to hear this today, and just to know that, you know, all is well in God's world, but as many have said, I need to show up. I need to do my part in continually working the steps. The food, admittingly, has been difficult lately, and I kind of have this pattern where I get through the steps, I get to a recovered state, I'm doing well, and then I start to make allowances, and then I have to start it all over again. And so this summer I said, you know, that's insanity, and maybe that's not for me. So I tried another fellowship, but when it's loosey-goosey, I don't do well with that either. I need the boundaries that working the steps and working this aspect of program specifically calls me to. It just works. So I'm going to keep going. I don't know what it is once I get to step 12, what happens, if that's sabotage or what that is. But I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep turning it over and see what God has for me. So if anyone can relate, I'm on the member list. I would love to hear your experience, strength, and hope if you've had similar experiences. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you so much, Marcia D. from Ohio. Please keep coming back. Next, we've got Elaine G., followed by Natalie M. Elaine, you're up.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. I'll tell you, I had a double whammy lately. You know, like, I went to Philadelphia, and, I ate over this, too, where the guy treated me really bad that was the head of the trip. And a terrible text, and this and that. Got over it. They got rid of him. And now my beautician, I know this is may not seem like a big deal, but it is. Beautician told me she's moving to Florida on July 30th, and now I got to get a new one. Now, I was, like, comfortable and knowing she's a good beautician, and now I'm fearful I'm not going to get a good beautician, and I have to look for one, and this is like a double whammy. And so meanwhile, am I eating over? Yeah, I'm eating over this, and this doesn't help. And all I know is that when I start eating over it, it's so hard to get back to the way I was being abstinent. It really is. It's like my disease tells me, oh, you'll feel much better if you eat, as the scale goes up. And then on top of that, I have this really bad back problem, and when my muscle relaxes from the trip, because of walking uphill with a walker, so I'm fearful. But anyway, I need to go for physical therapy for my back. I knew when I went on the trip, from the first trip, it was terrible with this guy, and I went on the second trip thinking, oh God, this time it may be bad too. And right away, that morning, I got a backache, and it's continued. I mean, to the point that I couldn't even hardly walk because of the pain. So I'm on a muscle relaxer and some Tylenols and walking slow and not crazy about all this. But this is what I have to do and get some physical therapy. Got to go for MRI and get a shot in the back from pain. All right, anyway, that's it for me. And I'm eating over all this, which is terrible. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Next, we have Natalie M., followed by Sherry H. M.
Hi, this is Natalie from California. Thanks for everyone who's here. So I woke up this morning out of sorts, disgruntled, discontent, and knew I was off. Yesterday was a great day. Today, the mood has shifted. Got on my knees, asked God, make me courageous and fearless and other-centered today, and figured I'm good. But next thing I know, I'm eating my breakfast an hour and a half earlier than I normally do. Like, I just need the food now. And I realize, this is bigger than just the average mood swing, and started using the tools. Thank God for the tools. Picked up the phone, talked to someone, and she said, well, what about, how's your step 12 work going? Why do we do step 12? Why do we work with others? And I said, oh, well, that's easy. We want to let people know there's a higher power out there, dispel despair and build hope. And she says, no. We do them, well, yes, for those things, but mainly because we're grateful that we have recovery. And that helped me realize that I somehow, between yesterday and today, took for granted everything that my higher power has done for me, a new life, right, of sanity. And that probably came from not working with newcomers. When I don't remember where I came from, then I'm headed right back there. And so I'm grateful today for the tools, for wise people in the program, for you guys on the line sharing your stories. And I'm looking forward to gathering some newcomer needs. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Natalie M. from California. Sherry H. M., you're up.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. This is Sherry H. M., gratefully recovered from Washington State. Miss you guys, haven't been around for a bit. This is just reminding me about today. I woke up and, I was on the stinking thinking channel, the oh poor me, thinking about I'm not doing a lot of fun summer things because I'm caring for my husband, who has physical issue, almost blindness, and my parents. But, I remembered, I need to do my prayer and do my quiet time. And I just said, God, please bless me, but more importantly, make me a blessing to other people. And then I said the third step prayer. That's just life-changing for me. And I remembered, focus on gratitude, not the stinking thinking channel. That leads to, just misery and feeling sorry for myself and this and that. And I have to remember, I'm in a place where most of us most of the world lives on like only a couple dollars a day. And here we are, no matter our where we're at, here we are. So I'm so grateful for this program. And sorry, my little coffee timer's going off. So thank you, and I pass. Have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry H.M. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We're on page 34. We read the bottom paragraph that begins with, how then shall we help our readers? Ending with, this is the crux of the problem. And we just read that one paragraph, and that's what we're sharing on. And if you haven't shared, in the last few days on any vision meeting, if you haven't shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, we'd love to have you share today. Please give me, if you would, your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
This is Christy.
Was that Christy?
Yes, Christy.
And
from
you have
Oregon.
A last initial?
Yeah, Christy D. from Oregon.
Gotcha, Christy. Thank you so much.
Jetta P. from Reno.
Jetta P. from Reno. And who else? Who else would like to share? We got lots of time.
Hi, this is Lorraine M. from California.
I've got you, Lorraine.
Kristen R. from Virginia.
Was that Crystal R?
Krista.
Krista. Okay. Krista R. from Virginia.
Jackie M. from Michigan.
Okay. Jackie M. from Michigan. Got ya. Anyone else want to get in? Right, we'll go with this lineup. I've got Christy D, Jetta P, Lorraine M, Krista R, Jackie M. We're going to start with Christy D, followed by Jetta P. You're up, Christy.
Yeah, good morning. This is Christy D, grateful, recovering overeater from Oregon. And thank you, everybody, for being here. So I guess what's coming up from today's reading and the shares is just, you know, the importance of, like, paying attention for my recovery to, like, my mind and my thought patterns. And I think one thing I've learned from recovery is that, you know, when I start getting the food cravings, there's, like, a trail of things, a cascade of things that have happened before I start thinking about the food. And a lot of it, you know, starts with my thoughts and how I'm thinking about things. You know, we talk about it and a lot of the readings, that feeling of restlessness and anxiety and fear and resentment, you know, and what I thought when I came into program was this, like, physical thing, really to me is such a spiritual and emotional thing. And I'm realizing the more and more I get into recovery, how much it's a spiritual thing and about my relationship with my higher power. You know, a lot of my thinking that results in kind of those negative emotions has to do with me, you know, not trusting my higher power, not turning things over to my higher power, you know, not accepting life on life's terms, you know, like wanting my will to be done. And it talks a lot about in the big book about how the proper use of the will is when we, you know, ask for God's will to be done, not our own. And I find when I, like, trace my thoughts back, it kind of all starts with me not doing those things. And the other thing I've learned about my thinking is that a lot of those tapes or thought patterns are so embedded, like, I'm not even aware of them anymore. Like, it just, they just kind of happen on their own, like, automatically. And some of that just takes, and I think that's why, you know, writing is a great tool of the program, because what it does is it makes us aware of what we're thinking about. And sometimes it's like the only thing I'm aware about is thinking about food, and, like, that's the first awareness I have. And usually for me, that's like this clue of, like, oh, okay, what's going on? And sometimes I have to, like, peel back the onion layers. And I think, like, the proactive piece for me is to be more in touch with my feelings, so I'm aware of it before I get to the food thing, of when I'm having an uncomfortable feeling or when I'm struggling with something. And I think right now, in terms of my journey with recovery, you know, that's the part I'm really leaning into the most, is really, really trying to trust my higher power and their will and turning it over every day. So I've been trying in the mornings to get up and do a morning meditation and do a big book reading and trying to be more consistent about my meetings. You know, what I like about July is a lot of times we focus on the seventh step, and the seventh step is about humility. You know, it's about asking our higher power to take away our character defects. And one of the readings I heard in the big book was about how all we can do is ask, right? We can't take our character defects away. All we can do is ask our higher power. And then we have to wait on his timing and his plan. And we have to lean on him to help us work through it. Okay, thank you. I'll wrap up. And so I'm just grateful to be here and grateful for recovery and just grateful for higher power today. So with that, I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Christy V from Oregon. Next up, Jetta P, followed by Lorraine M.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you guys for your service and to all who are on the phone. Thank you. Just so happy you guys are all here. This resonated with me because the line where it says our mental state that precedes a relapse into drinking, in our case, it's eating. I have anxiety and panic attacks, and they came in full swing last night. And so I had worked with a therapist on how to handle them. But really what I did was as I went back and I was like, okay, what did I eat and what did I drink? Caffeine, coffee, like any caffeinated drinks, trigger anxiety, panics, and things like that. And then my kids wanted that Panda Express and the kind of like processed, high, salty, whatever. I knew, like I was like, no, I don't want to eat that. But then I just went with the family. Stupid me. Don't go with just everybody and what they're eating because it affects just not only your body but your mental state, and which goes down a rabbit hole. And I let my kids purchase some candy because they had a friend over, and so I usually let them have like a treat. It's their treat. Well, then I took a bite of that candy. Okay, if it's Nerds and it's the gummy Nerds, don't ever have – I can't have it in my house. So I realized the last few days trigger foods, and I actually have identified the foods that I can't have because it does affect our mental health. And so this was really timing just to know that my mental health is as important as my spiritual health. And so, and they kind of just all go together. I need to be on my phone calls in the morning. I need to be working with my sponsor. I need to be praying to God. I need to be eating foods that help with my mental health. And so this paragraph was really good. And if I'm mental, if our mental health or my mental health isn't good, then my eating is not going to be good. And if my eating is not going to be good, it's that vicious cycle. Then my mental is not going to be good. So I need to just get back to the basics today. Feeling better this morning. But I need to lean in on my faith into OA and the 12 steps and just keep my exercise, which is good for mental health as well. I've been really good with that. And with that, I just want to encourage you guys, like, if you guys have those mental health issues or things like that, anxiety or panic attacks, you know, it can be linked with the food is what I'm finding and the caffeine. And so this meeting this morning was timely. And with that, I pass. And thank you guys for your service.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jetta P. from Reno. Next, we've got Lorraine M., followed by Krista R.
Good morning. This is Lorraine M. from California. I want to thank everyone. You know, I'm so grateful that everyone's here and can make this meeting happen and keep me in recovery. The mental twist, the mental disturbance before the relapse happens, for me, wasn't too long ago. I recall going away for the weekend and not really wanting to go, kind of feeling unsure about if I wanted to go or not. And found out that my niece and nephew were going to come, super excited that they were going to be there. So then went for the weekend, and I didn't do my prayer meditation as I normally did because I got up, was super excited, you know. And then they weren't as excited as I was to be there. Well, I want to say I was like, oh, I felt a little sad or disappointed, whatever you want to call it. But what I realized after that weekend and I'm working with my sponsor, guess what? Lorraine doesn't really know what her emotions are. Even though she felt different She felt, I want to say, a little unbalanced. Lorraine didn't really know if it was resentment, was it sadness, was she just feeling tired or out of sorts because she was at a different place? So the only way that Lorraine can figure that out is by connecting with her higher power and using the tools and doing her outreach calls and talking to someone about these feelings that she can't really deal with. She can't identify them. And I think, you know, it just comes from a long history of growing up in a life where emotions are very extreme, right? From one extreme to the other. But there are all these little things in between. For me, they seem little because I was used to growing up in extremes. And so I followed that pattern in my career, and I chose to be like a critical care nurse. Again, emotions are very extreme. So all those emotions in between, I am very unaware of. But now that I'm abstinent and I'm feeling them, I have to learn how to deal with them through the program. And the only way I can do that is by working the program every single day and being grateful for it and trusting an HP that, whoa, I don't know what these emotions are, but you're going to have to help me deal with them. The program's going to have to help me deal with them, because otherwise I am going to just go back into the food and end up more and more miserable and die spiritually and physically as well. So thanks everyone for being here today and letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lorraine M. from California. Next up, we've got Krista R., followed by Jackie M.
Good morning. My name is Kristen R. I spell it K-R-I-S-T-E-N, and the reason I mention that is because I am listed in the member list, and I would, like, really appreciate outreach calls. I'm in Virginia, too. So this paragraph could have been written about me in the last week. On Tuesday, I paid $200 to go see a binge eating disorder specialist. And she told me I should be eating whatever I want, whenever I want. And not just that, I should be feeding my children the same way. And if there's any weaknesses in their eating, it's because of me. So I quickly soaked all this up. And I thought, wow, I found a solution. And guess what? I can eat whatever I want. Of course, I ran out the door and ate whatever I wanted. But what happened was there was no freedom. What there was panic and anxiety. Because the number one thing she told me is, if you want to get over binging, you have to stop trying to lose weight. And from what my ears hear when she says that is, you have to try to stop getting towards a healthy body weight, because I need to get towards a healthy body weight. I guess the reason I bring this up is because, as my very patient sponsor said, this is part of your step one. This is part of the research that you go out and do, and then you finally realize that, yes, I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in and out of the food for 5 years, and I'm not sure what it's going to take to get me to have long-term abstinence. Never happened. But I know when I'm in OA, my mental health is better, my social life with my friends, and I don't feel so alone, because there are people out there that I can just pick up the phone and call, and they understand what I'm saying. They understand why I'm eating the way I am. So I'd just like to thank everybody on the line today, and I'm really grateful that you're all here. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen R. from Virginia. Next, we're going to take Jackie M., and then we'll probably have time for a couple more shares. So Jackie, you're up.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to share the analogy of the pickle and the cucumber. I saw this on a sitcom of a recovered
alcoholic. And he said that if you try to, excuse me, if you think you can eat, go ahead and see if it works. And that's the cucumber. But if it doesn't work, if controlled eating doesn't work, then you're a cucumber. I mean, a pickle. And you can never go back to being a cucumber. I just love that analogy. And I want to share an experience I had. The other night, I fell getting into bed. And I had to have the paramedics come and help me. And they did. And once I was all settled, I wanted to eat. And I wanted to eat watermelon. But as I learned from my sponsor, it wasn't time to eat. It wasn't my time to eat. And then in the morning, when I woke up, I wanted to eat right away because I was so hungry. But I didn't because it wasn't my time to eat. And I just learned from my sponsor about setting times for eating. Like for me, I'm on the one day, the two meal day. So if
Jackie, that's
this,
time.
Okay, thanks. I'll stop.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie. And that's Jackie M. from Michigan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Jackie. And we have time for a couple more if you'd like to share your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Evan Yu from Palm Desert, California. I'd like to share.
I've got you, Evan.
Thank you.
Get one more in here, too.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Was that Debbie T or P?
P as in Paul.
P as in Paul. Gotcha. Yeah, we've got Evan U followed by Debbie P. Evan, you're up.
Hi, this is Evan from Palm Desert. Lovely to be with you all. So grateful for the miracle of the 12 steps for this meeting. For the big book, obviously, you know, and what I'm centered on, the crux of the problem, you know, it says in the big book that the problem centers in our minds, you know, and this notion of mental health, you know, for me, this is where, you know, I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. You know, this is sort of the important thing, you know, for me. It's like I'm not dealing with the food on a daily basis because I'm dealing with what's underneath the food, you know. And for me, I have a mind that triggers, I have, you know, thoughts that are not good or healthy, and they trigger deep and strong feelings. And my willingness, I guess you could say, to bring the steps, you know, we practice these principles in all of our affairs to these emotions, that helps keep me abstinent with food, because most of the time I'm reaching for the food because I can't deal with the incredibly strong and uncomfortable emotion. So, you know, almost step one process, I bring God, I'm powerless over this strong feeling. And I'm starting to see that these mental kinks, these mental ideas, most of them started in childhood and have existed all the way, you know, I'm 57, you know, for the last 50 years, And something happens now and triggers them and triggers that sort of child response. You know, there are no such thing as grown-up emotions. You know, and so starting to learn to deal with that, to deal with that powerfully and bring the steps to that and learning how to bring God into those emotions is what keeps me. Food is not a good way to handle those feelings, but God and these steps are. And that creates a level of emotional sobriety where I don't have the desire to reach for food in the same way that I used to. I used to have, I'm a compulsive overeater through and through. I'm powerless over food. But by the grace of God, one day at a time, I don't feel the need to pick those things up. And it's not so much that I'm trying to watch it or control it. It's not there because I'm dealing with the problem at its source. You know, it says in the big book, bottles are only a symbol. You know, food, at least this is how I hold it. Food was the solution to my problem. My problem is my misunderstanding of life and God and how safe I am in the universe. And it turns out that I'm very safe and I'm very okay because that love. Well, then I should stop. But I really appreciate you all. No, it's okay. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.
All right. Thank you so much, Evan, you, and from California. And then Debbie P., you've got 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Debbie P. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this won't take 2 minutes, but I just wanted to say I haven't been able to listen regularly to Vision because I had to go back into the office to work, and over COVID, I got to work from home, and it was easy to listen. But this couldn't be more timely today for me. I am not very good about identifying. I'm not very good about giving up my power to my higher power. And I'm not very good about writing and applying the steps. And I just recently have a new sponsor, and she's working with me on that. But what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is my willingness to do something different. When my husband likes to have things that I'm not allowed to have, and then if I say, no, I'm not going to have that, and he doesn't, I feel guilty. So anyway, you know, that's something that I need to change from myself. My belief that somehow I'm doing him a disservice if I don't eat what he wants. But also that I need to really get into the steps again. I have been there. I have been very lax over the last couple of years. And I'm just seeing how this program is really the answer for me. So I will pass with that. And thank you, everybody, for your service and your shares.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Debbie P. from Indiana. And that brings us to time. Yeah, brings us to time. So perfect timing on that. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kelly L., can you please read a vision for you?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Kelly L. from Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.